The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast.
Dr. Taz. Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show, and I am super excited to bring to you today Kelly Levesque. Kelly is a holistic nutritionist, a wellness expert, and a celebrity health coach based in LA, California. She has her business, Be Well, which grew out of Kelly's lifelong passion for health, the science of nutrition, and overall wellness. Guided by a practical and always optimistic approach, Kelly helps clients improve their health, achieve their goals, and develop sustainable habits to live a healthy and balanced life. Before she started her consulting business, Be Well by Kelly, she worked in the medical field for Fortune 500 companies like J&J, Stryker, and Hologic, eventually moving on to more personalized medicine, offering tumor gene mapping, molecular subtyping to oncologists. Her latest book is Body Love, which at its core is Kelly's personal food philosophy and easy-to-read guide that includes her simple tips and tricks to eat for fullness and naturally balance your hunger hormones. It's about understanding the science of human nutrition to achieve real results. Body Love will help you feel empowered, not overwhelmed by food and nutrition, live in balance, weigh what you want, and free yourself from food drama forever. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Taz.
Oh my goodness. You know, I'm excited about this. We met a long time ago. We've tried to connect since, and hopefully I'll see you soon at Revitalize again, but I've just been a huge fan of your work and what you're doing and the information you put out there. And as I continue to do, you know, these episodes and talk to a lot of the health leaders across the country and wellness experts across the country, many of us are preaching the theme of balance and balance when it comes to mental health or medical health, all of that. What has your perspective been when it comes to how we all perceive ourselves and how we manage and navigate what seems like, honestly, a landmine when it comes to food and nutrition and marrying that to our perfect weight?
Yeah, I mean, what I like to do for my clients is free them from the food drama. I think someone needs to tell them that it's okay to eat and to eat consistently. And old science used to tell us we should have 5 to 6 small meals a day to balance our blood sugar and to feel good and be our ideal weight. And, you know, the new research is more based on some fasting in between meals and eating to satiety, eating to feel full and satisfied and calm. And so I just give my clients a light structure so that they can choose the foods that they like to eat and put them on their plate, but make sure they're getting a balance of macronutrients to feel full. I'm all about turning off hunger hormones in the body and teaching my clients what foods do that so that they're not fighting not to eat, but naturally can go 4 to 6 hours between meals, feeling balanced, feeling fueled, and, you know, gain the benefits of that break. So
that's fascinating.
That's really what I'm
because,
about.
Yeah, I love it. I love that message. And I love, it actually seems more doable than what a lot of us have been telling people to do over the years. But talk us through that a little bit, because for the longest time, it was all about eating smaller, more frequent meals to keep blood sugar stable, to keep your insulin level stable. And in the recent, I would say probably in the last year or two, there's been the slow shift to really recommending more often, you know, the periods of fasting, going for the 12-hour to 14-hour fast overnight, sometimes even longer. Tell us about maybe a little bit about the science there. Why the shift from consistent small meals to longer intervals of fasting? What have we found? What have we learned over the years that really makes that more better or more efficient for the body?
Sure. Well, first of all, the big elephant in the room, or the obvious one, is it takes a lot of energy to digest food. And the process of digestion, especially when it's when the food that you're eating is rich in carbohydrates, is that those carbohydrates are going to be digested into blood sugar. Blood sugar is going to, you know, whatever it is, toast, quinoa, rice, cookies, cakes, whatever, ends up in our bloodstream. And it ends up in our bloodstream as glucose. And what follows glucose is a flood of insulin from our pancreas. And what we used to believe was that as our blood sugar would go down, so would our insulin. But we're finding that a lot of people before they're pre-diabetic, before they're diabetic, before there are any, you know, metabolic syndrome lifestyle type diseases, is there's hyperinsulinemia and people are full of insulin and they're having a hard time clearing insulin. Sometimes insulin's lasting in the body for 6 to 8 hours. And because it's a storage hormone, it's impeding our ability to really break down fat efficiently. Whereas if in when you don't have insulin present and your body needs to bring its blood sugar back up, the other hormone from your pancreas is glucagon. And what that's known for doing is helping our body burn fat and lowering cholesterol. But for many of us, we never have to use it. It's because we're always eating and we're always, just using fast energy from our food versus dipping into our own stores of energy in the body, which I think, is pretty interesting. And then on top of that, you know, obviously having a break between meals 4 to 6 hours or a longer break from when you last finish your dinner to when you have breakfast, that like sleeping fast type of a thing, anytime that we're mm-hmm. getting that type of fasting, our body is able to, you know, it depends on how long you go, but programmed cell death happens, apoptosis, real true body cleansing happens without the presence of insulin. I think it's just, you know, it's giving our body the needed break. Recent endocrinology research says that it's, you know, it's better for your thyroid in the long run to not eat as often. It's pretty interesting because it's just not what we were taught. And I think when you look at health in a silo and say, okay, blood sugar goes up and comes down on average every 3 hours, so let's make someone eat every 3 hours to keep their blood sugar stable or to not let it drop into, you know, a hypoglycemic state. But I think mm-hmm. we're, you know, you're never allowing the body to do what it's meant to do. If it has a hormone that brings your blood sugar back up, it's, you know, we're having these really fast carbohydrates that spike our blood sugar so quickly without fiber, without good healthy fats, without the protein, crash, reactive hypoglycemia type of a crash. And because of the insulin, we can't break down fat to feel good, and we can't access, you know, our stored sugars because of the presence of insulin. We feel like junk, and then we just need another cookie or something to bring ourselves back up. So
just give me another cookie.
I mean,
for all of you out there listening, I know you're probably scratching your heads a bit because it's contradictory to what many of us, myself included, have said in the earlier years where, you know, we want you eating more consistently. But as the work on insulin evolves and understanding that insulin is essentially a fat storage hormone, and that most of us, because of the way we live and work today, most of us are not depleted. Most of us are in a storage mode the majority of the time. That married with the work on the gut and understanding that the gut is kind of the place where our entire metabolic rate is determined, and how the gut today and even in older systems of medicine needed fasting. It was actually mandated in Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, all these old systems of medicine, where there was a fast of at least, you know, a certain amount of time, a daily fast, a weekly fast, and then even a quarterly fast to allow all the systems of the body to rest and not have to work. So Kelly, essentially what you're saying is mirroring what people essentially said 5,000 years ago. It's just that it takes science this long to kind of settle out to where it wants to be. So keeping all of that in mind with having this fast, what is the right way to eat to make sure we're not wanting to eat? I mean, I'm guilty too. I've got to be honest. I'm guilty of grazing throughout the day. In fact, I don't sit and usually eat meals. But what is the trick to making sure, you know, we're eating at consistent intervals, like you're saying, you know, stretched out maybe every 4 to 6 hours, but then we're not driven to eat, like we don't want to grab that cookie in between or just a quick handful of nuts or even something healthy, you know, in between this 4 to 6 hour interval?
Yeah, you know, I think it is all about the input. I have found in the last 5 years with my clients that the lower I can keep that initial spike after a meal, the less likely they are to crave more food. And it's more of an elongated blood sugar curve as opposed to a high spike and a crash. So we really, it's looking at putting the things on your plate that don't break down the blood sugar. So I talk a lot about protein, fat, fiber, and greens. That's what I call my Fab mm-hmm. Four in my book, because of their ability to not only turn off over 8 hunger hormones in your body, and we can kind of geek out on those if you want, but also to elongate the blood sugar curve. So it's the science of anytime you're adding a little bit of protein and healthy fat to something, it's going to slow the digestion of that meal. And anytime that you're having something that's higher in fiber, it's going to slow the digestion of that meal and slow the release of glucose into the bloodstream. And then I add greens because I'm looking for you to add color to your plate, antioxidants, phytochemicals, but specifically greens, because the sulfur-based sugar in leafy greens feeds your healthy gut bacteria, and we know that a healthy gut bacteria has the ability to determine how we respond, how our, you know, how high our spikes of blood sugar and our response to our food is. Now we know that, you know, your gut has so much to do with that. And so I'm looking to not only feed your gut microbiome, but to help it thrive. So those four things together have the ability to elongate your blood sugar curve, make you feel more balanced. And then what happens is, instead of riding the roller coaster up and crashing into mm-hmm. lunch and telling yourself, I'm going to get the salad, they send the bread. I'm not going to eat the bread, not sticking your hand in the bag and grabbing for it because you're in a place of deprivation, or you're crashing, or you're feeling like, oh, I like have to have this. I feel like what I'm always preaching is, let's look at your breakfast and let's make sure that it's something that turns off your hunger hormones, makes you feel full, feel full and calm. And you look up at like 1 o'clock and you go, oh shoot, I need to eat lunch. And it's more of a slow, maybe your stomach is growling. You're like, am I getting hungry? Not, oh, I need that one sandwich from that one place, or that one wrap from that one place. Cause that's more of a craving based on probably stress, looking for some type of dopamine release because you have a specific place that you have to get your food from. And you thought about it at 10 a.m. You know, wow. So it's more of, yeah, more, I mean, of a relaxed decision.
I love this. So again, for my listeners, I hope you guys are catching all this. Just to reiterate, it's really the Fab Four that Kelly talks about to control those hunger hormones and to really elongate your blood sugar, meaning you're not feeling the swings of your blood sugar throughout the interval where you're not eating. And those not eating intervals are just as important as the eating intervals, is really the essence of her philosophy. The Fab Four, again, are protein, fiber, fat, and greens, all to really help you get the most energy you can get, and also to keep your blood sugar and your insulin levels nice and stable. Kelly, give us an example. You know, if I had to chart out a day, give me an example of what you would tell me to eat. You know my schedule. You know I'm kind of running all over the place. What would you tell me mm-hmm. to eat? Maybe, and even the times, you know, for like breakfast, lunch, dinner, what would be ideal, kind of given the routine that I usually run?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm a big fan of my smoothie formula, which is the Fab Four smoothie. And for a lot of people, it's the most accessible thing that I have in the book, and it gives them a lot of success. So they'll get up, they'll do their workout first thing in the morning just to get it in. Also, a fasted workout is a really great way to have the release of human growth hormone and testosterone as a female to hold on to lean muscle mass and burn some fat away. And then I would say, let's have a Fab Four smoothie on your way to work. It'll take you 2 minutes to blend up. But you would pick a protein powder. So depending on your lifestyle, I have clients who are vegan and vegetarian. They do an organic pea protein. I have like the paleo clients, the clients that don't associate with mm-hmm. anything. Maybe they're doing, you know, a collagen protein or, a grass fed whey. It just really depends on the client. I try to steer people away from brown rice protein. It's just known for being higher in heavy metals and, you know, like lead and arsenic and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So and people don't understand why. It's literally because it's coming from the soil. So like whenever you have right. a plant that's grown in the soil, if that's in the soil, it's going to be in the plant. So just a little higher chances for that with the brown rice protein right now. So I'm leaning towards pea, which I like a lot. It's great. And then you would do, so that's your protein in your shake. And then you would do fiber. So maybe chia, flax, acacia fiber. It depends on, you know, which one you'd like to use. I would just say 1 to 2 tablespoons of fiber. And then you do a fat. So I have clients who do, you know, vanilla protein, acacia fiber, and then they do avocado as their fat. I have other clients who do a chocolate protein, chia seeds, and almond butter as their fat. So you're looking for that protein, fat, and fiber to be the base. And then you just throw some spinach in there. You can barely taste it. A lot, you know, some unsweetened almond milk or unsweetened coconut milk, blend that up and you're out the door. So you'll notice that, in my book, the first couple of recipes that I give you the formula to build any shake that you want, and you can make any flavor, mm-hmm. but the first couple pages of my recipes are all fruit free. And I really like this. I really like to get people the protein, fat, fiber that they need, some greens, fill up their stomach, stretch it. I mean, people used to grab those juices on their way into work. And honestly, without the stretch yes. of your stomach, grilling is still like, hey, we're hungry. What's up?
Right.
Listen up.
It's a quick rise in sugar too.
Right. And so I like to modulate that. I like to turn off that hunger hormone. I like to stretch the stomach. I like to fill you up, but I don't want to, especially right after a workout, I don't want to fill you with sugar. So it's surprising. I mean, that's the first thing I do with clients. And sometimes I get text messages at 2 p.m., like 2 days after I saw them. I did the shake. What's happening? Why am I not hungry? This is so weird. They just naturally feel better, can naturally go that period of time between meals. They're very relaxed. And then they make better choices. And then I'm not forcing them to eat a specific way at lunch and dinner. It's almost cyclical. It feeds off itself. It's the momentum of the day. And so, then it's just, again, looking for the protein, fat, fiber, and greens. And that might be, an arugula salad with avocado, shrimp, and like a lemon vinaigrette. Or, you might be a person who's like, I feel really good with grass-fed bison, and I'd rather have a lettuce-wrapped burger mm-hmm. with roasted broccoli, because that just, I'm more of a person who needs a little bit more protein, or, for whatever the reason is. This is where the Fab Four can teach people how to balance blood sugar without them understanding what they need to elongate that curve, and also allow them to say like, oh, I'm a pescatarian, or I'm paleo, or whatever it is. It gets a little bit more difficult with my vegan and vegetarian clients, just based on the fact that I'm not a big fan or proponent of soy,
right.
Based on like phytoestrogen levels, based on GMO stuff and all of that. But, then we get creative. We, do a tahini dressing. We really up the fat in replacement of the protein. We add like nuts and seeds and things like that. And then maybe do like a small serving of beans, like a lentil or a chickpea. But I also want people to remember that beans are half carbohydrate. So they're full of fiber, which is great, but there is going to be a response there with blood sugar. And some people, we kind of have to play with it. Do they do well on beans? Do they like it? Do they not like it? It's kind of client dependent, but we're just looking for those mixed macronutrients so you feel calm, relaxed, full, and can almost like wake up at your next mealtime like, whoa, it's time.
Time again. I love this, yeah. Kelly, because I think this is so doable, and I'm sure my listeners would agree. I mean, if we can just lock the Fab Four, so protein, fiber, fat, greens, and then think through 4 to 6 hour intervals, then hopefully we're not giving in to cravings, we're not having cravings, and we're sort of dialed into that piece of having a decent fast, but at the same time getting the right energy to sustain us throughout the day. And then we can each carry our individual stamps, so to speak, whether we want to be gluten-free, paleo, keto, whatever it is, you can carry the stamp of how you want to eat, as long as you're kind of keeping these four elements locked in your mind. And that, I think, ultimately, with a lot of the nutrition research over the years and the wellness explosion over the last years, where a lot of my patients are landing now is still completely confused, because there's so much information and there's so many people out there talking that they don't understand, and they're having a really hard time of trying to say, well, is this the right thing for me, or is this not the right thing for me? But this is something anyone can do. Anybody can remember these four key groups: protein, fiber, fat, and greens. Try to bring them in at these designated intervals, maybe every 4 to 6 hours. So for somebody like me, it would be maybe 7, 12, or even 1, and then again probably 7 o'clock in the evening or so, and then I'm done. That means I would cut out a lot of my grazing and snacking that I do throughout the workday, which is completely doable as long as I'm getting the right fuel to begin with. So this is something I'm going to jump on. I hope you guys as listeners jump on as well. But I do want to talk, you mentioned the hunger hormones and being hormone aware. Do you want to dive into that for just a little bit and just talk about, kind of what we're doing when we follow this philosophy of eating and what it does not just for our hunger hormones, but for our hormones in general?
Sure. I mean, I think that, balancing your blood sugar and being aware that the carbohydrates you're eating cause this release of insulin. It is a storage hormone. You are really shutting down your body's like pure ability to break down fat. And I think that that's super important to be aware of. So for example, I've had clients sit down with me and they say, okay, I wake up and I have avocado toast. I'm like, okay, there's a spike in your blood sugar right there from a carbohydrate. And then at lunch, I have this grain bowl. And then at dinner, we have wine, and I love dessert. And I look at that and I say, okay, well, if you're having breakfast at 6 a.m., insulin is lasting for 6 to 8 hours in your bloodstream if you have the inability to clear it. It's on average about that long. So, okay, then you're not really, insulin's present from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you're not really doing a very good job of burning fat. You're probably burning some stored glycogen for fuel. And then you have that grain bowl at noon. We kind of shut it down again until 6 or 8 p.m. at night. And then you have your wine and your dessert at 6 at night. And then we shut it down until about 2 a.m. And so then I look at like this pure cleansing burning period is only from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. And that's something I want my clients to be aware of. I don't think that they need to be no carb, low carb keto, but I need them to be aware of the time that their body is in this really good state of, with the ability to burn fat without the presence of insulin. So I like I said, with the fruit-free smoothie, that's something that's really easy for people because they're more emotionally connected maybe to lunch and to dinner as a culture than they are to breakfast. And so it's something so that's an easy pull where I say, okay, well, no big deal. You finally are clearing your insulin at maybe 2 a.m. Wouldn't it be so great if you maybe didn't have those carbs and that spike of sugar in the morning until your bowl at lunch? Then all of a sudden I'm getting this burn period from 2 a.m. all the way to noon or 1 p.m., depending on when they have lunch. And they don't have to change their whole life. And then I get the call, a couple weeks later, and my bloating's gone, my skin is glowing, I'm feeling great, my jeans are a little loose, or whatever the case may be, without this total wholesale change of their life. And that's just being aware of insulin in general. So maybe you're like, I'm going to go to brunch. I really love brunch with my friends, potatoes and mimosa, whatever it is that you, whatever, living your best life, right? And so then you maybe say, okay, well, just be aware. First of all, you're going to ride that blood sugar train up, a little champagne's a lot of sugar. Then you have the starchy potatoes. Maybe someone got like a bite of something for the table that you gluten-free baked goods in Venice. That's what we have, So you maybe have all these things at your fingertips and you have this big brunch. You ride that blood sugar roller coaster up. You're going to come crashing hard down. All you're going to want to do is order pizza, Netflix and chill. You're not going to feel like working out. It's part of
the biological
response, so we just be aware of that and say, you would maybe try your best to say like, okay, well, we're just gonna make a roasted chicken and some veggies for dinner tonight and try to pull back a little bit so that we're aware of that, giving our body a break from insulin when we can. Now, whenever you become, sometimes I'm sure you know this, Dr. Taz, but for your listeners, whenever someone becomes insulin resistant, there's a lot of theories on why someone would be insulin resistant. I try to explain it to my clients simply like, let's say that you had a glass of wine Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. By Friday, you might need 2 or 3 glasses of wine to feel that same little fuzzy buzz that you felt on Monday. and your hormones are a little bit the same way. Like they're going to respond to you. And so if you're constantly full of insulin and insulin's knocking at your muscles door, like, hey, pull some sugar in, take us into your cell. I'm like, you're never giving your body a break. It's constantly there and it needs more and more of it to be effective. And, or, your muscles need to be worked out, get a little bit of a fast. And then, there are also other theories like, molecular mimicry that affects those cells and a lot of other things. But I just think I do see some really great responses in regards to body composition changes when we're not always full of insulin and we're aware that it lasts for such a long time. And then when you have that insulin sensitivity, there's studies that show then you have leptin sensitivity. And that's the hormone that's released from your fat cells that say like, hey, we're full. We don't need to be any fuller down here, our little fat cells. It sends it to your brain and your brain goes, oh, we're good. It lowers your, increases your satiety and lowers your appetite. So it's like they start to work together and a lot of the same foods turn these on or off or modulate these. And like in regards to like insulin and leptin, it's the anti-inflammatory foods. It's that increase in omega-3s from like wild fish. It's an increase in magnesium from leafy greens that can improve insulin sensitivity and then thus also, have its improvement on leptin sensitivity as well. So it's like they start to be synergistic a little bit. And
absolutely.
And bringing certain foods onto your plate can really turn off those hunger hormones. So I list over 8 in my book on a chart to try to explain to people in a very simple way, hey, these are the hunger hormones screaming at you to eat. It's not your fault. But hey, by the way, if you just have a croissant, you're not turning a single one of these off.
Fantastic. And a lot of this information is in Kelly's book. And obviously, as you guys can tell, I can probably talk to her forever. But again, remembering these words, insulin sensitivity, leptin, fasting, the role of eating the Fab4, if you guys can at least walk away with that information in hand, I think that that will equip you to have your own body love and be the best kind of superwoman you can be. Kelly, any last minute tips before I let you go? Anything you really want everybody to know before we say goodbye?
I would just say if you haven't ever had a Fab4 smoothie for breakfast, I would give it a try because it might just make making healthy choices at lunch and dinner really easy.
Awesome. I'm going to go try it for lunch or dinner today, or maybe for breakfast tomorrow. We'll how about that? If you're trying to get a hold of Kelly, tell people where they can find the book and also what the best way is to get in touch with you.
Sure. You can find me on social media at Be Well by Kelly on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. My website is also bewellbykelly.com. And there's a form submission, contact form there. If you want to see me, you can book services there as well. Yeah, I'm kind of everywhere right now, or trying to be.
Fantastic.
I need to clone myself.
Yes, you're doing awesome work. I've been following you on some of the stuff you're doing, and I know it's all amazing work, and I'm super proud of the book. And like I said, I'll be making my smoothie in the morning. I'll let you know how it goes. But
Perfect.
Thank you for taking the time out to join me today. I really appreciate it. And for the listeners, get her book. It's called Body Love. Thanks again.
All right. Bye.
Bye.